but you are to fight for the reconciliation of the relationship. This does not mean you go into a room alone and only one person comes out alive. To fight in the midst of a personal conflict means you are not fighting the other person, but you're fighting for the relationship. If the issue really isn't an issue, then we need to engage in a flight response. Most of the time, we need to choose this option more often, and to flight or flee from the conflict is to let it go. Forget about it. Don't talk about it in your own heart. Don't talk about it with others. But a flight response means you're overlooking it. You're not letting it stand in the way. You too, that the other person may have no idea that they said anything to hurt you because you flew from the situation and you're not dwelling on it in your heart. And in reality, when we look at the church specifically, there are a lot of situations that we need to do this. And when we overlook something, we're also not holding it aside for the next time they say something, so I have two things or three things or 1,000 things. It's like leaving a job that has offended you and keeping a storeroom of documents in case I can ever bring something up in the future. That's not the heart of a Christian. That's the heart of someone who wants to settle the score, get even. We need to learn to let things go and show grace and move on. But if that can't happen, then we need to fight for the relationship. Not fight one another, but fight for the relationship. However, we need to be careful if you are finding yourself constantly fighting for your relationships because you're offended. And if you're always finding yourself needing to fight for relationships, then you may need to see me in my office and we need to do some counseling about why this is and figure out whether or not your skin may be too thin. On the other side of that issue, if you find yourself never addressing relational issues and seething in your armchair at home in bitterness, then come into my office for counsel because we need to do some counseling on how to develop conflict resolution skills and what that looks like. And to be honest, if you come into counsel, we'll be learning together because there is a whole host of things that need to be worked through. As I learn how to deal with conflict. Again, none of us do it perfectly. If you never find yourself fighting for relationships, but just seething in anger or hurt, come, get help, seek counsel on whether or not you're overlooking offenses or just choking them down and becoming bitter. Now, in the midst of all of this fight or flight response, Proverbs gives us some great wisdom, especially if we find ourselves in a fight response. He says, Proverbs 20:22, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you. Or Proverbs 24:28-29, be not a wisdom against your neighbor without cause, and do not deceive with your lips. Do not say, I will do to them as he has done to me. I will pay the man back for what he has done. And the Apostle Paul, God brings this to Apostle Paul's mind in Romans 12, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And notice there's a conditional there. If possible, so far as it depends on you, we need to take personal responsibility for the, if you're, as we talked about in a conflict class that we did in Sunday school, if you're only 10% responsible for the issue, you're 100% responsible for that 10%. And so if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And then some to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And when I had a Romans class at BIX, the Berkshire Institute for Christian Studies, we went over this passage, and the professor was rightly quick to point out, Paul is not saying this to do good so that you're like, ooh, let's do some nice things to make this person really anguishing and pour hot coals, because that's my heart. I'm like, I'm going to be so nice to you, you hate it. Okay, that's not what this passage is saying. What this passage is saying, don't give them reason to be your enemy. And so the temptation in many of our hearts when we are hurt is to knock people down a few pegs, settle the score, get even. God knows this is our heart, and so in Proverbs he tells us to wait on him to deliver us from those wounds. So this doesn't mean that if we are truly hurt or sinned against, we can't take action like going to the person to talk about it. Or if it's a crime, to go seek legal action. If it's a crime, go. If you are a spouse who is abused and battered, call the police first. They know how to deal with these things. If you were to call me in an abused situation, and I hope none of you feel that you cannot speak about abuse publicly or personally with me, but if you find yourself in an abusive situation and you call me, we're on the phone with the police. And then we will do counsel. I don't want any woman or man, but specifically you ladies, that think you are in an abusive situation to think you cannot talk about it. And when you come to me, don't think that I will be immediately on the phone with your husband and make your life worse. That's not how this works. But there are resources here in Waterville and Augusta that can help you be safe as we figure things out. So call me. But if your life is in danger, and even if you're not sure, but your husband is physically abusive towards you, and you are living in fear, don't think that it will change in time. Seek help. Even if he's a Christian man. Romans 12 truly gets to the gospel heart of this wisdom of not just knocking down one another a few pegs. We are to live at peace with all, even our enemies. We are not to take vengeance and knock people who hurt us down to size, but rather serve them and seek their good. And I know this is difficult for very serious or intentional hurts. We are to, as the old saying goes, kill them with kindness. We are to overcome evil by good. And so why do this? Why not just seethe in bitterness? Why not just, you know, show them what they really are? We do this because it's the heart of Christ. Jesus suffered shame, wounds, hurts on our behalf. And he never truly settled the score with us. He did this because he knew what was at stake. He knew that whatever he suffered was worth the reward of God's kingdom and the salvation of God's people. He doesn't go on the cross and say, "Now work out your own salvation. I'm coming for you to settle things." No, the cross settled it on our behalf. And so what we suffer, whatever we suffer, it is no reason for us to get even or settle the score. Because we are not defined by the hurts or opinions of others, but by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. I remember in high school, it was offensive to call someone gay. And it still is. But it's different now why that's offensive. You know, you didn't want to be called gay. And so you'd want to punch the guy out that called you gay when you're not gay. And so you wanted to settle the score, show him that you're not that way. But if we take on the mind of Christ, anybody can call you anything, and it doesn't matter squat, because it is Christ who defines who you are and your character. If that's truly what we have in our hearts and our minds, then people's opinions should not affect us in a way that destroys our emotional capability to function. But again, we are broken, we are weak, and that doesn't always happen. So we run to the cross and ask him to heal us. And when the relationship is scarred, we go and we do our best to fight. And sometimes in our attempt to live peaceably with one another, it takes time. And so my prayer is that we would wait upon the Lord, fight for our relationships, but never try to settle the score. And your pastor needs daily help in understanding this and thinking this way. And the best way God has given us to apply this wisdom is to be sure that we handle our conflicts with each other personally and limit the involvement of others. This is probably one of the biggest issues that defeats conflict resolution early on in anything. When hurt or offended, we want to talk it over with people. We're often doing it, often seemingly with pure motives. We share with others because we want to make sure we are not overreacting or to help gain wisdom in a situation. But many times it turns into sharing the issue and desiring people's support and encouragement and verifying that, yeah, you should be ticked. You should be mad. How dare they do that? And so we can contend to complain and drag people into our conflict before talking to the person who has hurt or offended us. And so we can often tend to drag people in when we feel the need to defend ourselves. And throughout the Bible, it's clear that the best way to begin handling conflict is to go to the person who has offended you. And I can attest to this, that it makes more damage when you involve more people than necessary. And you end up having to fix broken bridges that never should have been broken in the first place. And so Proverbs 28:5, 8-10 says, "Do not hastily bring into court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he hears you and bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end." Many things can go wrong when we don't try to resolve our conflicts with one another, or when we bring our issues to the court of public opinion. The temptation to embellish, overreact, hold fast, and avoid compromise all happen often because we don't talk to the offender first. This often happens, and things get messier because while we should be spending our time talking to the other person who hurt us, we're busy talking to everyone else. And Jesus has many clear things to say on this. He says, Matthew 18:15, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother." Jesus makes it clear that if we are hurt by someone, then we need to go to them. How they respond to your gentle discussion is not up to you. You can make things worse by coming in angry and wanting to settle the score, but if you come to fight for the relationship, then you're on the right solid rock of God's teaching. And how they respond is up to where their heart is with the Lord. Your job is to go and try to fight for your relationship with them and seek their repentance. Jesus says we do this at first alone. Later on in the next few verses, it talks about what happens if they don't repent. And that's another sermon completely. But the point is, go alone first. Avoid dragging this across other people's radar or building your case with others. Go to the offender first. And if you think the brunt of the issue falls on you, think again. The offender also needs to be aware of themselves. And when they know there is a justifiable issue, they need to approach you. Matthew 5:23-26. "So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you." Notice, remember that your brother has something against you. "Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." Oftentimes what we do when hurt is collapse into ourselves if we are offended and never go, and on the other side, when we know that we have hurt someone justifiably. Okay, sometimes there, you know, depending on the relationship, you know, it was a small thing, but when in doubt, go. When you know that they're hurt. And if you're in doubt of whether you should go, then you probably should. But when you know you have hurt that person, go. Oftentimes we can often say, well, if it really hurt them, then they will have to come to me. We need to stop assuming and go and meet each other on the way. And so if we put these two passages together, Matthew 18 and Matthew 5, what happens? If I know I've offended somebody, then I need to go. And if they know that I've offended them and they're hurt and they go, what happens? We meet in the middle. But again, we can't assume that someone knows they have hurt us. And so we go. It doesn't mean that we go and address every little thing. Hopefully, we are in hearts and we love each other enough to overlook many things. And so we search our hearts in God's Word when we find someone has been hurt by us. We need to hear the freedom of the gospel that tells us that we can repent to one another and receive forgiveness because Christ has forgiven us. It is never right to stick our feet in the ground and never ask for forgiveness when we have truly done something wrong or hurt someone. It is never wrong to show humility if what we have said and done has unintentionally hurt someone, whether it is in words or the way we have said something. Our tendency in a very litigious society is to spread our hurt and issues around to people who are not involved. Yet God tells us that we need to first go to one another, especially in the church. God even says that we need to avoid going to legal court against one another. How many of you have thought about that? Romans or 1 Corinthians 6, 1-3, when one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Notice the trivial cases here. Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more than matters pertaining to this life? So if you have such cases, do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church? I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to settle dispute between the brothers? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers? To have lawsuits at all with one another is already defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers. Now notice it's a trivial case. And that may be a gray area of what is trivial or not. But God tells us this because we are to be a community that works out our stuff in grace, patience, and mercy. We are to live as examples to the rest of the world. And that's why he says this. He's like, church, you're airing your dirty laundry before people who don't get the gospel. You should be able to handle this stuff with love and maturity between one another. That's why elders and leadership in churches exist. We are to live as examples to the rest of the world and show them that Christ deals with things differently. This doesn't mean that if you have a property line dispute between you and your neighbor, that you don't take that to small claims court or wherever you deal with it if they're not a believer. But hey, if they are a believer and you're having and this is affecting your relationship, come and talk to the elders and let's see if we can compromise. We'll get Elwood out there with his gear. But also, is it really that big a deal, Christian, when you're to inherit the world over property lines? Put everything in perspective of what you have to gain in his kingdom, not here. I think that's oftentimes why our conflicts are so difficult. Because we're trying to have heaven now at our own hands and at our own wisdom and in our own time, when if we understand what we have to gain in God's kingdom, we're going to overlook many things in grace. Church, our relationships with each other are worth fighting for, because we are brought together not by blood, physical blood, but by the blood of Christ. That's a stronger bond than anything this world can produce. And so my prayer for us is that we would proceed in our conflicts with caution, humility, and honesty, and that we would retreat from settling the score, getting even, knocking people down a few pegs, and that we would handle our relational conflicts one-on-one before bringing it before the court of public opinion.